The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
To Motivation and Muscle, streaming radio 24/7, and today is the 30th of January already, 2017. Go out to motivationmuscle.com and download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle, a free ebook along with the 30-day program. These books aren't going to be on the website much longer because we're doing a bunch of stuff and we got a couple new things coming out. So you can still get them, but they aren't going to be visible to the naked eye, as they say, unless you go out and click whatever we're going to, well, we'll probably call them ebooks. I don't know, but that's not a big deal right now. You can go out and get those. Also, too, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. We got our good friend Bud Jeffries on here, who I'll bring in momentarily. Just go out and look at all the shows Bud and I have done over the last year. There's nobody out there with a vault of information like us. Go out, check it out. If there's anything that you would like Bud and I to talk about that is not there, you can go out to Fiorello Barbell at nicap.rr.com, and I'm sure we'd be glad to do something for you. I'm trying to think, is there anything else? Well, I don't think I've got anything else. Usually I read a passage here. But I will read this quick line. I love just interjecting before we start a show. As everybody knows, Steve Jeck has been on here, and he'll be on here quite a bit in 17. This is from the book of Stones and Strength. I read multiple pages of this over and over every day. I love it. It's from of Stones and Strength, Steve Jeck and the late Peter Martin. It's the Sons of Sisyphus, page 106 and 107. This appeared in Milo many years ago, and it goes like this. The struggle itself towards the heights is enough to fill a man's heart. Think about that every time you're doing something that means something to you, important in your life, no matter if it's the littlest thing, because it does matter. Like I said, we got Bud on here today. I'm going to give you a little information on this gentleman, and we're going to get started momentarily. Number one, Bud is a strength coach, author, motivational speaker, minister, business owner, and one of only a handful of professional performing strongmen that tour the USA. So right there, we got tons of credibility. And if you know him, obviously years ago where I found him was when he did the dead stop 1,000-pound squat in a power rack, which, as you know, Bud and I have talked before. We love it. Big proponents, et cetera, et cetera. Today we're going to talk, though, about loss and training and how this affects a lot of things in your life and how, to me, and we'll get what Bud says as we go along, training has brought me out of more dark places, I believe, than anything I'd have. And that's even being a guy who's very faithful to a lot of different things. But we're going to get into this. So, Bud, welcome back to the show, sir.
Glad to be back, man.
Glad to have you. Anything I missed? Give it out, please.
Not an info about me, man. If they're listening to this show, they already know me.
Okay. That's okay. Hey. All right. Loss. We all know anybody that hasn't, Bud, unfortunately, lost his dad not too long ago. I've been there. We talked just briefly offline about this. Then we got into a little bit about what training is in your life. So, Bud, take it away. Let's start it out, and we will get rolling, please.
Right. So, I figure whatever you're going through, man, and usually other people go through worse things than we think we're going through. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When I posted online and talked about recently about what's happened to my family, and it's been a pretty crazy couple of months, man. My mom was in a car accident, hospitalized. She got out of the hospital. About 5 later, my dad went in the hospital. He was hospitalized for a couple of weeks, came home, and about 10 days from home, he passed away. And that was all kind of over the Thanksgiving time and then just before Christmas. And then really just post after Christmas, my wife's grandmother died. My mother went back in the hospital, had to have surgery, just got home Saturday. And, it's been kind of rough. But it's nothing compared to the things that other people are going through, man. People, there are harder things. There are more dangerous things that people have to endure every day. And I think that's something we always ought to keep in perspective. But I think that training can be one of the biggest things you can do to be helpful in your life when you're going through hard times.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people, I think there's a couple of temptations here that people ought to know about, talk about, or whatever. And I've talked about this in talking about the mentality of training before. So sometimes the temptation when you're going through something like that is to stop training because mm-hmm. it's busy, because because things are just don't have time, I have seen people who I know are super dedicated to training, do things that I think are ridiculous in the scheme of being with a loved one is more important than missing a workout.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? I think that you have to have some reality and perspective. And sometimes as hardcore lifters and that kind of thing, our perspectives are a little nuts. You know what I'm saying? I mean, yep. I'm all for not skipping training under almost any other circumstance. But at the same time, I learned a long time ago. All right, as an example from my life. Okay, the first powerlifting crew I ever worked with, first guys I ever trained with, we trained deadlifts on a Christmas Eve the first year I was training because we had a meet coming up.
Yep.
And I know everybody's done that, and it's cool, don't get me wrong. But I also think missing no time away from family is a dumb thing when deadlifts would have held another day, or they, we could have done it. You see what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
We did it on that. We've got to do it at this particular time, this particular way. We can't skip it no matter what. Yeah, you know what, dude? People are more important than weights, and it wouldn't have been a big deal in the grand scheme of things. And I think that was a mistake that I made early in training. And I do think there has to be that balance in life of I'm going to train no matter what. At the same time, there's also that balance of maybe today it's more important to spend time with somebody I love.
No, I totally agree. I'll tell you, I've done the same thing you have. I've missed big events. I've missed big birthday parties, things of that nature, and it was to go and lift with my friends, and it would be, whether it was deadlifts, whether it was stones, whatever. You know what I think comes from that too, though, Bud? I think a little maturity comes after that stuff, because I'm not excusing it at all, but I think we all are very exuberant when we're into things that we love to do like that, and we figure, oh, well, we can always attend a birthday another time. That's not right. Right. You know, that's disrespect. But look, we're young. We do a lot of things. We want to, you want to compete, all these things. They take you over, and people got to realize that. But I totally am in agreement with you. You can't let your family and your friends down. And most of all, don't let yourself down. So go ahead, take it.
And I think you just hit sort of something there that is the right thing there.
Yeah.
So in some ways, okay, not training is letting yourself and letting your family down, because it's important that we take care of ourselves.
Yep.
At the same time, working around those schedules is probably the smartest thing to do. I really don't believe in skipping training, but I also don't believe in programming it in a way that you have to train at a certain time, no matter what else is going on in your life. And I've heard all these, I've heard some big time lifters talk about this in their life about how I sacrificed everything. I never went out with my friends, or I never spent an anniversary with my wife or whatever because it was training. And Listen, man, training is supposed to enhance your life, not destroy it. Right. And I honestly believe that if you – there's commitment, and then there's actually it's not – I don't think overcommitment is the right word, but I think you can be so committed that it's out of a place of fear and lack of confidence that training is going to work.
Yep.
In other words, you don't skip a squat workout because you're absolutely positive that you can squat 500 today, but if you skip one workout, you'll be back to 135 next week, and you'll lose all your muscle, and you won't be. I think sometimes we don't allow things to just literally work and believe that, hey, this is going to work, and it's one session altered at a time, or altered to make it shorter, or altered in a different day, is not going to crush the inevitability of your muscle building or muscle whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to do that.
Hey, look at this. Not to interrupt, but think about this. I don't know, and I'll be anxious to hear what you say. I remember when we started out, all right? And I mean, you know, we used to go down to the Y with the big guys, and we were punk. We were like 10, 11, 12 years old. These guys were big. I mean, you know, these guys are neighborhood guys that everybody respected. They were truly strong men when I think about back in the time and how crude everything was down there to use. But these guys were guys that you didn't mess around with, and you learned from them if you were smart. If not, you would get your face kicked in, and that was literally. But that whole scheme of that, this is what I always thought. I remember when they used to always say you'd read the magazines, you know, and everybody should take some time off. I have a lot of mixed emotions about that now. It depends what I'm doing, how many, maybe I take an extra day. But I remember they would say 7 to 10 days off. I can remember, I want to see what you say if you're like that. When you're that age, we used to think the same thing you said about the squat, go from 500 to 135. We'd say the same thing. Okay, I weigh 180 now. I'm probably going to drop down to 150. And all somebody would have to say to you in that time when you're off is, hey, you losing weight? I'd be like, oh, my God, what did I do here? You know, so you know what I mean? Like, it's funny.
Oh, yeah. I definitely. It's a maturity thing. And it's when you're young guy thing, But honestly, I think a lot of people don't get past it.
No, I know. I know.
Saying, I think a lot of people really don't get past it. That's what, and they don't get past the, you know, I think as you get older and mature things, you really ought to train for different setups and different reasons.
Yep.
And you ought to grow into that whole idea. And hopefully if it's past your first rodeo with that.
Yep.
You'll figure out that, you know, after your first, you're not going to die from 7 days off.
Yeah.
It's not going to kill you.
Yep.
It's not going to be a,
yep.
You know, not going to start, you don't have to start completely over. You don't lose the whole, you know, it doesn't work like that. Now, at the same time, in regard to what we're talking about,
yep.
I don't believe in just dropping things.
No.
I don't believe in that. Because I honestly don't believe that's the best decision for anybody going through these difficult times. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I think that, like, I'll give you an example of this, and for a couple of reasons, this is really, really personal stuff. You know what I'm saying? The last time my father was in the hospital, he was hospitalized for 2 solid weeks.
Yep.
And he wasn't very communicative. He had trouble with dealing with, as far as, you know, communicating his needs and some of the things that people had. And having been through hospitals and stuff with him off and on for years, I've seen a lot of, you know, obviously people get a lot of good care, and they also get a lot of bad care.
Sure they do.
And also, my dad was a big guy.
Yep.
And, you know, and unfortunately, in very, very out of shape, but he's about 300 pounds.
Yep.
And so most nurses, men, women, doesn't make a difference, whatever it is, you know, they can get the job done if they recruit 2 or 3 or 4 people, but can't move very well and you can't communicate very well and you're 300 pounds.
Yep.
It's a really tough gig for them. And the combination of having seen and had some really bad care from situations like that and him not being able to do that, and just the way that my family operates, you know, we stayed with him 24 hours a day for 2 weeks.
Wow.
In the hospital. Nobody left. Somebody was there all the time.
Yep.
And usually that meant me staying at night.
Yep.
Okay. And honestly, most of those days were 12 or 15 hours.
Yep.
And you know what? I'm happy to do it. It's part of life. I'm happy to be able to do that. I'm happy to have been strong enough to physically do things to help to make a loved one more comfortable in a very bad time.
Yes.
And been physically strong enough to, as much as possible, carry on the rest of my life, as well as sleep at a hospital, stay at a hospital, you know, do whatever you need to do. But I think purely from the stress relief, purely from the need to continually physically move, and I honestly think it's healthier for you not to skip workouts, but to modify them.
Yeah, I agree.
The way that allows you to do those things and take care of who you need to take care of and do what you need to do.
Hey, Bud, look at it this way. If I just want to interject here a couple things. You know, you and I both know, and everybody out there that listens to us here and, you know, sees you all over the place, we know you're a very strong individual, one of the strongest people on the planet. We know that. But the thing is, I think you exhibit your strength better. Now, you were there for your father. Whether he could communicate or not, he knew his son was there. I think that is one of the most vital things you could ever give to a loved one. And not only that, you're a leader. See, weightlifting, And I'll say this a million times the day we draw the last breath here on this show. If you truly understand what it's about, I mean truly understand, not some blockhead that just lifts weights and says, look at me, I just deadlifted 700 pounds. Yeah, but what else are you about, man? And that doesn't even matter. But the point I'm trying to make is, due to your understanding of what this whole thing is about, it allows you, when everybody else might be depending on somebody, to lead. Even if you're not saying, I'm the leader, but they can take and draw the strength from you. And I found that when my father passed away, it was the same way. I mean, we have relatives all over the country. And my mother, I have brothers and sisters, but being the oldest, I took the lead. I had to contact everybody. My mother was in no shape to do anything like that. And I believe that not only was I very lucky with my upbringing, but I still say, and I'll say this forever, the gym has been everything to me forever. And it's carried me through some of the worst times in the last few years with business and everything else. And it's something that I always feel, and everybody say, well, it's an inanimate object. Bull, it is. Everything out there is moving. It's all moving. Metal, steel, stone, I don't care what it is. You can draw such strength out of things like that, which are going to basically refine you and make you like a piece of iron. And no matter what happens, you always can come back. I always say the only thing that's going to take me out is an act of God. And I mean that sincerely. So when my father was, and I knew my father was not going to last, I never in all my life, my father was a very tough Italian, came from Boston. Only one time in my life I saw two things my dad did. My dad cried when Jimmy died. I totally understand that, but I've never seen my father emotional like that. And number two, the first time I ever saw it in my father, I could see it in my eyes, he was afraid. And I didn't know, and to this day, I wish I could have figured out how to do it. I never got to just you say to him, you know, Dad, what is it? You know, I mean, because he was very stoic his whole life. And I guess I just got used to that, and it was like, I wish I could have just, and I think about it now, but, you know, I'm not 20 years old now, and I wish I just could have comforted him more, you know, like say to him, you know, it's going to be all right, because like I said, never saw fear in his eyes, and I knew he knew. You know when things are happening and you might not come back, and my father passed away 2 days later on that, but I just wanted to mention that to you, and, you know, with the leadership and everything. So go ahead and take it.
Yeah, no, and I think we, you know, like I'm all for, you know, hyper masculinity. That's it. You know,
yeah.
I mean, everything,
yep.
A lot of the things I'm into is that kind of thing. But I don't, and that comes out in different ways in different men for different reasons.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Different levels of stoicism.
Yep.
Which is a good thing,
yep.
On some level, but at the same time, I think we can give ourselves the ability to show emotion when it's necessary. You know what I'm saying? When it's necessary and able to speak those things. And I think that's a good thing for you to be able to, you know what I'm saying? To be able to do that. You know what I'm saying? To be able to do that. And you know, like just an example from my own family. Like my grandfather was a pretty stoic guy.
Yeah.
Not very emotional.
Yep.
He also, you know, took care of his own family from his father. His father died. He took care of his family by himself from the age of 12.
Yeah.
So, you know, that creates a stoicism, you know, and it creates a different kind of life, different kind of man.
Yep.
You know, and my father was different. My father, you know, was very tough, but also very emotional.
Yeah.
You know, a different guy. Everybody's different. And it's okay for us to be those things. We don't have to fit anybody's mold. We don't have to do anybody else's thing. We can be our own way. And that doesn't mean we have to force, you know, I think a lot of our modern culture tries to force an emotion on guys that I think is wrong. At the same time, it also tries to repress it.
Yep.
And I think we need to have the strength and freedom, both mentally, physically, to do those things and to do whatever needs to be done. And that's honestly part of the, actually a buddy of mine, a guy that's online, Frank Develenball.
Yeah, Frank, he's a great guy.
Great dude from Germany, trains hard. He wrote an article recently about he had a, you know, similar, not quite the same, but similar situation. His father's much older, and he'd fallen, and he was able to pick him up.
Yep.
And that being a change in perspective on the importance of training and the importance of you know what, I can physically tolerate things other people can, and because of that, I can do things for people that most people can't do.
I agree.
That is a bigger thing in life, a bigger thing in that's a bigger point to lifting weights than just having big arms.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, you know something, Bud? I'll tell you, as stoic as my dad was, he didn't have to say it. He didn't say it much. I knew my father loved me and all my brothers and sisters. And one thing I think for a child, well, kid, child, whatever you want to say, I always knew I was safe. See, I think that's a huge thing, man. I never was afraid when my father of anything when he was around. You know, you always knew that you were going to have, you know, a loving family, food on the table, clothes on your back. There was never any thought of things like that. But he was tough. He came from my grandfather was one of 13. Same thing as like with your dad and stuff. Lost his father early. He was the oldest, and he had to go out and work and help out his mother. These people came from different places, different times. That was their nature, and I know just from being Italian that a lot of Italians are very stoic. They're very hard and crusty, it seems like, on the outside, but some of them, and I'll say even the men too, you get to know them or they really care about you. They're the most loving people I've ever met in my life. And I think that when you talk about strength, it's great to be able to, you know, do a 500-pound dead stop squat or a 1,000-pound or be able to dead stop press 500 or more over your head. I think that's fabulous, and I think it all goes into your character. But you nailed it, and I say this a lot too. It's the way you take that strength and put it to the pavement. It's like Bud Jeffries walks in, okay, his mom, everybody's there. There's big things going on in the family. But yet, Bud walks in, and like I say, that aura, that you know, when we talk about objects, the way they vibrate. Let me tell you, people pick up on that. If Bud walks in, he's all emotional, crying, or whatever, which he has a right to be, it's going to be a little bit different. But when Bud can walk in and convey without even opening his mouth that, hey, I'm here, it's going to be better, we can all, you know, get together here and make it the best setting we can, it's very important, man. And people look to others for that type of strength. And I think, I agree with you, I think a lot of stuff in society now, especially men, we get into this stuff all the time. Men, a lot of men are very confused with their roles in society. A lot of them have had their manhood beat out of them, literally. And I think when a man can walk into a room and not, he doesn't have to push anything on anybody, but can comfort people just by his presence. And when he opens his mouth, they all look to him for his strength. That's what the gym to me means everything. You know, I say health first, but you take all those attributes you've lived in the gym with getting beat down a million times, with making that goal finally, but that goal took a whole nother year, doing things that most people won't do, because we were talking about this with James Fuller one day. I was like, I failed tons of times. I film myself all the time failing. I'll put it out there. I don't care, because that's a part of who we are. And if you're an authentic individual that really gives a darn about people out there, you're not afraid of that. So go ahead. Cheers.
No, absolutely. And I think fear is a big thing, man. Fear is a much bigger thing than people talk about.
Yep.
And like, part of the reason that I was able to do that and did that is because, okay, my dad had those bad experiences with people like trying to help him stand up and not being able to do it and that kind of thing. And he knew for a fact that I wouldn't drop him.
Right.
And no matter what. I'm not going to drop him. I'm not going to, you know.
Yep.
Being able to use and make yourself more confident and make yourself into something that makes other people confident that you're going to do the job is a much bigger point than all of the other, so many of the reasons that we train are so, you know, very ephemeral, that I want to look this way or, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
Who cares? It's so much more important to have those levels of physicality to be able to do for people what you need to do, to be able to take care of your family or take care of your loved ones or other people or even yourself or whatever. And in part of that is, you know, okay, so you train and you need to keep doing it, and even those tough times, especially if they're long tough times, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Over my dad had some really, really bad health challenges, and had some good times too. He had some good times where he was blessed to have a lot more time than he could. He could have definitely passed away much earlier. And there were a lot of times I spent, probably over the course of his personal health problems, I probably literally lived with him for 3 months.
Yep.
At different times. And I mean literally I was either there 24 hours a day or it was a situation like that. And it was in those short term periods of time where you had to have that. Being able to do that, to make somebody believe that they're going to be okay,
yeah,
and you're going to help them, is such a much more powerful way of doing that. But okay, you're not going to, if you skip a workout, you miss one, it's not going to be a big deal.
Nope.
But if you end up staying somewhere to help somebody, you get or in whatever crisis situation, maybe that's not it. Maybe you will go through your own personal challenge, or maybe you work explodes and you can't, you got to move, or you got to live, you know, something that, I think that unless you literally physically are forced to and need to take the time off, and hey, sometimes you need long-term recovery, and that's not a problem either.
No.
But most of the time, I think it's the worst decision in the world to just completely stop. Oh, I don't have time for it anymore. I wish I could work out, but I don't. Listen, you just have to make time. I mean, people are going to say some of this is crazy and or whatever, but like, dude, I moved when I ended up living with him to do that, to take care of him. I moved stuff in there so I could work out between when I had 2 minutes between.
Yeah.
I dragged a set of kettlebells. Part of the time in the hospital, I took a kettlebell. I walked a kettlebell into the hospital.
Yeah, that's great. I love it.
took it in the room, and he was asleep and wasn't needing anything or whatever, and I needed to do some cardio, so I did snatches while there was no –
Yep.
I it was that or – not do it, and it was more important at that moment, both mentally and physically, for me, as well as, probably the rest of the world, honestly, at that time.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
To do it, take care of things, and even he, and that actually brings up something that he actually said to me, and this is, again, I think you can only convey what you're dealing with on a personal level, either in your own personal training, which is most of what we talk about, but in those other things as well, and
yeah.
Man, we really don't take care of our health the way we ought to. And I watched my father die basically from diabetes.
Yep.
And I know a ton of people have gone through that. And diabetes is insidious and slow, and because it's so slow, there's usually a lot of damage done before you really realize it's there. Or when it's there, it requires such a radical set of changes in habits that it's almost impossible for most people to deal with.
Yep.
And that's a big thing. And my father grew up in that generation where exercise isn't, exercise is something you do if you have to, but it's not something you do as a recreational thing.
Correct.
I used to get a ton of crap from my cousins and neighbors and all that stuff because we all grew up in that generation, and it was, well, if you got all that energy to lift those weights, why don't you go mow the yard, or why don't you go do
I've heard that. Yep. Yep.
And what I'm saying with that was, in the end stage of his life, he said to me, you know what, I should have worked out.
Yep.
I should have taken better care of my health because I realized the damage that it did to me. And you don't stop. No matter what the crap anybody gives you about it, don't let anybody stop you, and don't stop doing that workout. Don't deal with the suffering. Don't have the problems that I'm having, because you really do need to make a difference there. And you know what? If talking about that and sharing that gives somebody motivated – and listen, I love being big. But you can't be that big for that long and not have problems.
No, not at all.
You got to really be careful. If you're going to be big, you got to stay on top of things like blood sugar, and stay on top of things like cardiovascular health, and stay on top of all that stuff. And some of us may not be able to be that big, period, for, I got no problem with it if you're young and you want to achieve something particular. And yeah, you gain a little extra weight because, okay, I did it. I gained 100 pounds because I wanted to squat 1,000 pounds.
Yep.
But then I saw a different way and a different life and a different things. And I saw the health problems coming, and it's there. You can't weigh, I don't care if you're if you're 8 foot tall, you still can't weigh 400 and something pounds and
no.
be. Okay. You can't. I don't care if it's mostly muscle. I don't care if you're, super strong. At the same time, at some point, the body has a limiting
factor.
yep. there. And we really do need to take care of those things. And here's the deal. It doesn't need to be all day, all the time. It doesn't have to. It doesn't really have to be in a situation where you have to give up your whole life and you have to go all Biggest Loser and you work out 6 hours a day and that's to eat one lettuce leaf a month and that's all you. You know. Yeah. It doesn't have to be that way. It can be in gradual changes and it can be quick workouts and things that fit in your real life and do. And you can get a ton done, man. You can get more done in 10 minutes if you really get down to it.
Mm-hmm.
And most people get done in a week.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? You really can. But the question is about that. You got to actually do it.
Yep.
You can't just think about it. You can't say, oh, I really appreciate you saying that to me, but I'm going to take that to heart. Yeah, I don't care where you take it. Just put it on the road.
Yeah.
Do what you need to do to actually make that happen. And here's the thing. It's different for everybody, okay? Like, I have a close friend who actually just sent me an article about that. He was a big lifter.
Yep.
Got and he's a short guy, but he got up to 240 pounds, 250 pounds. Strong guy, 600 pound squat and drug free, lifetime drug free, 600 pound rack squat.
Yep.
I
know who that is too. I'm sure.
You know what I'm talking about, Ben.
Yep. Yeah. I know who it is.
And he also started having health problems and actually legitimately cut weight.
Yep.
And he's still strong. He's just healthier.
Yep.
And you know what? You got to do it sometimes, man. You got to take care of your – now, and let me say this too. That don't excuse you if you're 150 pounds either,
mm-hmm.
okay? Like a lot of people give me crap about being big and stuff or whatever. But listen, if I'm 300 pounds and my resting heart rate is 50 or 60 and you're 150 pounds and your resting heart rate is 80.
Yeah.
Who's healthier?
Right.
Where are we – you know what I'm saying? Let's talk about – I mean, and I'm not excusing being big. I'm not excusing being little. I'm not excusing anything. Man, woman, don't have a lot of time, going through a hard problem. Listen, get out and do the work.
Yeah.
You cannot avoid it. You can't. This is literally something you cannot avoid. And you know what? There are times where you're going to – okay. There were some times where I ate some not wonderful cafeteria food in the hospital.
Yeah. Yep.
And more – as much as from a taste perspective as from a health perspective too. But
yep.
And I'm sure you've done a lot of that too.
Yes, sir.
But – okay, you know what? And I'm actually not a meal prepper guy, but by God, if you got to do it, go do it.
Yeah.
If you got to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If that's the only way that you can force yourself to do what you need to do, then do it. And if it has to mean you have to get up early and work out early because that's if you'll skip it if you get home later, then by God, do whatever you have to do to take the reins of control
mm-hmm.
of your life and keep that even in the tough times when you are losing things. When things are, hard, when you lose people, when times are short and tough. And I would say this. I think there's a mental trap in that thing too. Okay, and I've talked about this with the other stuff, and as I mentioned this at the beginning of the show.
Yep.
I think at times when you're angry and everybody goes through being angry, everybody goes through being, there's all these stages of grief and the different things that happen in those things. Okay, I think it's totally okay. If you need to go out and work off some steam and do some things and just physically expend that, that's okay. But I think it's a trap to do it all the time.
Yeah.
Because it becomes a mental – and I've mentioned this before, but I think it's worth mentioning again. It becomes a mental conditioning. If you're angry when you work out all the time, you'll associate being angry with doing that.
I agree.
Your mind will automatically get that way, and that's not the right direction to do that. I think you, over a period of time, you need to associate it with being happy,
mm-hmm.
with having fun with what you're doing. And here's the thing with that. If you've built that mental association, even if you are angry and you go outside and work out, the anger doesn't last as long. When I was young and did that, I could be mad and go work out for an hour and be tired and more calm, but still mad at the end of the hour.
Yep.
But over a period of years of developing that different mindset, more than likely, most of the time, and I rarely, rarely, rarely do this anymore because I'm a grown-up. I have a lot more emotional control. I do things – well, my wife might argue that.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
At this time, if I do have that problem and need to go do that, it's more than likely that after a few minutes and I get some good work going that I'll calm down. I'll be much happier.
Absolutely.
I'll actually affect my mental state instead of just blowing energy out like a fire hose.
Yep.
That's a more powerful thing. And make it a constructive thing in your life, not just an avenue that destruction flows out of.
No. Something I'll tell you right now. I've got a podcast that I'm going to be doing, might even be tonight or tomorrow. It's very interesting when you talk like that, because the theme of the show is the body will always find a way out. Now, you can use that in two different directions. You can use that to make excuses, or you can use that to create a positive path to get to wherever you want to go. It's amazing what you concentrate on and how you self-talk to all of a sudden, you know, bud, when we look at, I'll just give a quick for instance. When I was thinking about a name for this show, I was going nuts. I'd be writing stuff out, you know, and then, you know, you go to bed and you give it to your counsel. I'll think of people that I'd like very important to be sitting there advising me. And I remember one night I said, I got to come up with a name for this podcast. And I'll tell you, I don't know what time of the mid-morning it was, and, you know, you're half out of it, and it came to me, Motivation and Muscle. And I went and wrote it down on a pad. It was barely legible, but I could still read it. Now, what I'm trying to say with this whole thing is this. Whatever you're planting in that garden in your mind, I'm telling you right now, and I want to get what you think about this. I've seen it happen to myself, too. No matter what's going on with you, I don't care if it's training, personal, business, whatever. Somehow, whatever you've planted there is going to lead you in a good or bad direction. Because, see, the mind and the body is always working and trying to figure out what is going to be the best plan for this guy. Even though when I say it to you, you said, you mean you did that? That wasn't very smart. So what do you think on that line? You know, obviously, we are planting seeds all the time. But I just think in my own experiences, the body will always find a way to whatever it's got to do, it's going to do. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
I think where your body will, and your mind and your body are always planting those seeds together.
Yeah. Yep.
And now see, there's the thing. That's actually what I'm trying to communicate in this thing, is being very careful.
Yep.
About what seeds you're planting.
Yep.
And I think it's okay. Okay. So if you're going to use the gardening analogy, it's okay to occasionally use training to weed some ugly stuff out of your mind.
Yes.
But when you do it all the time, you're replanting instead of weeding.
Yep.
When you do it all the time, if you're not building that, and I think it's now this is extremely esoteric for most people to start talking about, but one, the things you concentrate on are the things you manifest,
the things
you make happen, the things you do,
yep,
and the things you pour energy into. Now, I'm a halfway guy on that. Let me tell you what that means. I think just because you concentrate on $1 million, you don't actually have a plan. Concentrating on it by itself is just not going to make it fall on your lap. It doesn't work that way.
That's right.
At the same time, you can concentrate on having an 800-pound squat all day too, but unless you get under the bar, nothing's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? Yep. However, I think there is a point where your mind and body have to unify so strongly when you're in deep effort.
Yep.
That if you focus on, and I've talked about this in a bunch of my literature before, about unifying the things you think about,
yep,
and what you want into that whole time. And really, it's honestly, I've come to a much more meditative place on training,
yep,
than I was before, because I think it's a powerful thing. And also think it's an efficient thing to be able to use it as a meditation.
Yes.
To be able to use it as a mind building and spirit building and calmness and production of life building time. And, you know, you're going to spend that time anyway. Why not get the most you can get out of it? Why not get you got to work out.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, even if you don't want to lift heavy like us,
mm-hmm,
you got to work. If you're going to have health, you got to do it.
Yeah.
No question. Even if it's just walking, or if it's walking in some, light. I mean, if you really don't want to be muscled, but you do want to live a long time, you still got to take care of yourself.
I agree. Hey, bud, I'll tell you this.
All together, why not have the deeper things that you can have, because you're opening this conduit of things there that really makes a difference.
Well, I'll tell you this. I used to, always say, oh, we got to train heavy, blah, blah, blah. Now, the word health is number one before training, because it's very easy to equate. You don't have health, you and I aren't lifting stones or doing, big kettlebell stuff or dead stuff. That's not going to happen anymore. So health is paramount. But I want to tell you something real quick. I know we're out of time almost. I put this up yesterday. My little nephew, Danny, is 6 years old. Now, he's got four older sisters. They're all very athletic, very good athletes. Both sides of the family have athletes. And it's really, when we talk about what you think about most, he's gotten very interested, due to his father and myself, in lifting things, and I love it. Nothing gets pushed on him. You know, he'll come over here. I've got a 15-inch tire now he's flipping. I have him do his grip work by squeezing the fat end of the picnic table. We do farmer's walks with bricks. We do step-ups with a 10-pound plate. He's got across the, you know, crisscrossed on the front of his chest, stepping up on cinder blocks. So I see everybody was over here, obviously, at Christmas, and my brother, Mark, Dan, his father, and Danny and myself were out in the gym. And we were doing some cleans and just light stuff. You know, Danny's doing a few things, and he's doing great. And I said to him, I said, you know what? I think you'd be really good at lifting sandbags and you know, little kids. He's like, yeah, yeah, like that. So yesterday, I went out Saturday. I bought 20 pounds of sand. I broke one up in 8 and one in 12. I threw it on Facebook yesterday, and I wrote a little note on it for him, double bagged it, burlap bagged it, and taped it so tight you could bounce it right off the ground. Well, I brought him over to him yesterday, and it was just incredible watching him, you know, teaching him how to stand over a sandbag, how to squat down, how to grab it properly, and watch this kid clean this thing and just hold it. I was like, I was so proud, man. It was, and I hope that he's going to keep doing it, and if he doesn't, that's okay too. But I said, you know, Danny, you get this all down, what we're doing here today. And all it was cleaning and bear hugging quickly. I said, I'll teach you how to squat with it and everything else. So the point of the matter too, now I've been saying this to him now every time I've seen him since Christmas. I said, Danny, when you're 13 years old, you're going to deadlift 500 pounds. I said, what do you think about that? He goes, I want to do it, Uncle H. That's what they all call me. I said, well, you're going to do it. And now, whether he does it or not, I don't know. But I plant seeds in all the kids, and they love it, and it works. And I wish us adults, and this is excluding us, but I'm sure you and I are both guilty of it at times too. Wouldn't it be great I know you can't think that way 100% of the time. I got it. Things happen. But can you imagine the people we would be turning out? I'm not only talking weight room, just as individuals out in society that we would have if we could get this somehow instilled in people more.
Oh, change the world. And that
absolutely.
Whole, people would be – and it doesn't make any sense to me why you wouldn't want to do that.
I'm with you.
Why you wouldn't want to give – especially kids, but people in general, why you wouldn't want to give them the idea that it's possible for them to do amazing things. And it really, really is. And that's the perfect thing to do with a kid. Listen, we specifically bent over backwards to do some of that with my son.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Very specifically because I wanted to give him a mindset of truly being limitless.
Absolutely.
And put him around people who did that for him, who put those seeds in him, who acted like that in their life and talked to him about that.
Yep. Yep.
And that's a big thing, man. That's huge. A huge thing.
I think too, Bud, with the way a lot of stuff is going on, especially in the United States, I think weight training and people like you and I and others that you and I both know and others that you know and I know, I've said this before, especially with Eminem, I just feel a responsibility for that. And let me tell you, yesterday, that little boy with the sandbags, who knows what that did to him yesterday. And the love I felt for that, my little nephew there, and how it was reciprocated, let me tell you something. That is the best feeling you can ever have in your heart and your whole body, because I felt yesterday like, man, did I just give something back? And it was just unconditional, and it was for no reward. The only reward I want is to see this kid become the best, like you said with Noah, the best you can absolutely be. And if I can do that personally and through the show with everybody, guess what, man? Just think 5 years from now what we're going to be doing. It, like you said, possibilities are endless. Hey, I know we're at time. You know, anything you want to put out, go. You be my guest. Give out your website or whatever you have. I'll give my information out. If you could hang on the line, we'll set up another show for next month, please.
Right. All right, so let's recap this. Everybody goes through bad times.
Yep.
Don't stop training. But don't give up the rest of your life. Be with your friends. Be with your family. Be with who you need to be. Be strong enough to actually physically help people.
Yep.
Be in shape enough to stick it 15 hours a day if you need to and help somebody who really needs you. And don't stop. Fix your mind. Plant those seeds into other people. Plant those seeds in yourself that things are going to be better. You're going to get better. You're going to get calmer and happier. And you're going to stay strong and keep really charge of your health throughout your whole life. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm Bud Jeffries. You can find me on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook under my name, Bud Jeffries. You can find me at my website, www.anunconventionallife.com, and you can check it out. Stuff. I have a brand new program right now with Peter Ragnar, which is a very different program than we've talked about before. It's really on building a life, not necessarily the body. Now, the body is included, but it's much more on the whole life, mm-hmm. on really on giving the keys to taking the limits out of your life, how to be better at relationships and money and everything else that there is to life, and just really simple rubber meets the road keys to help you get those roadblocks knocked out. You can find that at www.keystolimitlessliving.com.
That's awesome. Great stuff, man. This is Motivation Muscle streaming radio 24/7. Go out to motivationmuscle.com. You know the two ebooks. Download them. As I say, learn to think and take action. That's what it's all about. The in-between you can figure out. It's all there. Also, too, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. I'll have Bud show up tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon. We're trying to get him up the next day if we can do it, because I have cut down with all the other business stuff going on. I just can't do the volume I did in the past right now. I'm sure we'll get much higher down the road, but we got the top stuff, so it doesn't matter. So look for that tomorrow at some point. Also, too, as I said, you know, Bud's on here. You know, go out and look at all the shows we've done in the last year together. I mean, you want to talk about inspiring. Wait, this show here. I mean, every show just gets better and better. I tell you, it's just so exciting to the future here. Also, too, go out to iTunes and Stitcher, give us a 5-star review. I'd appreciate that. That's what we've gotten all along. You know, we're on AHA Radio, AHA, the directory. If you have the ability to get podcasting in your car, you can get Motivation Muscle right at your fingertips. And I'll leave you with multiple things here. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them words of inspiration. 5 words will change your life. I guarantee that. And as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, squat it, press it, pull it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoosa Steel Crusher Stone says in Blood Red, domination. We are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. I'm telling you, dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. No one will ever clip our balls, and as Russell Furr says, who's been listening to us from the very beginning, when I listen to your show, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. That, by far, was one of the nicest compliments we've ever gotten, Russell, and obviously you are on the show. We'll say that for the next 28 years. And a few other things. Frank Klein, who was my greatest college professor in business, he used to say all the time, repetition, repetition, repetition. My pop, I'll tell you right now, among many things he said one thing that constantly, to me especially, be a leader, not a follower. If you knew my dad, you would be like, exactly. I miss my father, just I'm sure as Bud does too. I wish my father could be here right now just to share all the stuff that's going on with the business. I know he'd be very proud, and I couldn't be prouder of all he instilled upon me. Also, John Ridge, my chiropractor for years, who was like a father figure to me because my dad had passed away long before I met John. And John has left us almost 3 years. We lost him to cancer, but he would walk every patient to the door and say, keep smiling. I dare you to say that on the worst day of your life and not smile. I tell you right now, I'm smiling right now saying that. John would be very proud of me, and he'd be very proud I'm carrying on his legacy, and I couldn't be happier to do that. I miss all three of these gents. Someday we all will meet again, I know that, but not for a long time, fellas. Also, too, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 or more of your friends we're coming, because we're not going to knock on your door. We're going to put our foot right through it. Join our family. Join our revolution. I'm telling you, you're going to have the best 28 years of your life or more. Bud, Happy New Year, sir, and you know we're with you. The family's with you. And we'll talk next month, and I appreciate you coming on, sir.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Anytime. You're always welcome here. You are family. So, as the great Les Brown says, you all have greatness, but we take it a little further. We stand behind you, and we got your back, and we believe in you. Not many people today are ever going to lay that mitt on you, believe me. Stay with us. I promise you, only the best 28 years. So for Bud Jeffries, this is Eric Fiorello. We will talk to Bud next month. All I can say to you is go out and do something marvelous this week. Go out and get involved in the world. You just heard us talking about this when you hear this show. Practice what you preach. Thanks, everyone, and we will talk to you soon.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.